Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Blind Bargains, episode 74 of the Blind Bargains cast. I am Joe. That guy over there is JJ, home of the Fighting Detroit Lions and Tigers.
Right. It's been a big week, and the Lions are 1-0, and my fantasy team is 1-0, and my phone, my iPad is not bricked, so we're doing
All right. My Houston Texans actually won, but nobody wants to talk about that because Jay Cutler is not that good.
Oh, so I want to talk about that's I'm fine with that because I picked them in my survivor pool. So thank you.
Well, there you go. See, I was very happy. Go, Brock. Go, go, Brock. Go. Okay, so this is not a sports cast, although, as you know, we could totally do that. This is a podcast about technology, if you will, sponsored by our good friends at Hims.
That's right, Hims, a lifestyle innovation. You can visit them at hims-inc.com, and we'll have a little bit about them a little later in the show. We had lots of iOS stuff last week, so if you go back a podcast and you want the all about the iPhone, that iPhone podcast, that just go back one episode. Well, listen to this one first because this is like the current, and then go back to that one. Yeah. Then go back to 73.
Because we won't refer to that one too much other than in Sound Off. Other than
there's a lot of iPhone there. So there, if you want all the iPhone, there's where we did it.
Too much iPhone. But yes, my device has made it okay as well, as and my Apple TV. So that was really nice. Flipped it over to the dark theme and all sorts of stuff. But you know, there are other things that happened. I know it's hard to believe. There are other things that are happening other than people waiting by their mailboxes very patiently for their iPhones to arrive. And that would be things in the news. It's hard to think that there is other things out there, but HumanWare updated the Braille-liant.
You trying to make it sound more French or
French? Astute. Well, it's French Canadian. More French Canadian. Yeah, brilliant. So that and the Victor Reader Stream, the next generation, or the new generation, actually. The new generation Victor Reader Stream gives you some wonderful features like being able to sync your clock from Wi-Fi to the internet. What?
That now makes you never me. Is that?
That is so was, good.
Was I the only one when I saw that kind of did a little head scratch or like that wasn't already there? I thought that was one of the things that the Wi-Fi did. Some more Newsline stuff. If you're an NFB Newsline user, you could always download Newsline onto the stream, but now you can like directly subscribe and unsubscribe directly from the stream. So that's kind of cool. And you can you set up your daily paper as a book. And so it's a lot more integrated. It's kind of like some of the other services. So if you are a Newsline user, you pretty much can have it sit there and download your new stuff every morning and have it all synced up and updated. That's really cool.
Ready for that long commute. Although the Braille display stuff, looks like they've done some stuff to Bluetooth and HID compliance. Is that what I'm reading?
Yeah, Bluetooth HID support, which is definitely it's a little more standard, right, than some of the other things that are out there. So
agreed.
It's a minor update. The Brilliant update is 2.2. The stream update is 4.7, and they should be out by the time that this episode is out. Even if Patrick works quickly, they're supposed to be out. The stream one is already out as of the time we're recording this, and the Brilliant's right behind it. And, of course, we'll link to the information on that. And these are free for current stream and Brilliant users, which is always cool to have free updates. Is definitely the preferred method.
Did you see that tweet the other day I retweeted about we're not going to be able to call it hashtag CSUN17. We're supposed to call it something that I won't be calling it because I'll probably just type hashtag CSUN17 thing.
Hashtag, is it CSUNCOD 17? Is that the correct one?
Sure. I don't know what it was being confused with, but I don't think I will type those letters. I guess
because CSUN is not, we all call it the CSUN conference. It's not the CSUN. It's CSUN is a university. They very well may have other conferences. I don't know.
That's true.
They're changing the name of the whole thing, right? It's the CSUN Assistive Technology Conference.
You're right. Now that I think about it, it would be the college in general. Like the graduating class of CSUN 17.
Right.
So that makes sense.
But yeah, I never saw the hashtag being very cluttered.
Neither did I. I just thought it was weird branding. But, you know, we'll see. Everybody will choose
I don't even think we have this right. I'm looking this up here.
Okay. You do that while I tell the people that the call for papers is already out for CSUN 2017. You know, we're working on kind of lightly in the background this year in assistive technology for 2016, but in the back of our minds, this little doubt, this little guy just running around screaming about March is around the corner. March is around the corner. ATIA's conferences are going to be here before you know it. And that's really great. But for those who have to attend as a presenter, they have to start doing their papers right now, right this very second, because you do the paper, you submit it, and then you have the wait by your mailbox, or your inbox, really, in this case, that you have been accepted, so you can start making all those expensive plans for San Diego. So CSUN 2017 around the corner, if you're thinking about submitting a paper, if you're thinking about wanting to be a presenter, you want to go ahead and get on that now and submit those papers, because slots will fill up fast, especially for the pre-conference.
It's not free, by the way, for those of you who are new to the conferences in the world work, not just blindness conferences, but most. It is not a free thing to present a paper at a conference. Generally, you're actually paying for the privilege, and you might get a little bit of a discount on doing such, but this is definitely not a free thing, but it is certainly perhaps a prestigious thing that can potentially get you some
hotel, food.
And the lots of food. The answer.
Mm-hmm. The answer.
Number CSUN. ATC 17. Got it?
Yeah, that's not happening. No, that's so not happening.
So now what we're going to, so here's what's essentially going to happen. And, you know, I get why they're trying to do this. What essentially is going to happen is now you're going to have to monitor two hashtags.
Yeah, well, yes, right? That will fracture.
Because half the people will use the old, I mean, we'll probably switch to the new one, but obviously we're going to be watching both, and whichever one is the one that's being used the most, we're going to certainly probably migrate towards it.
And for all of those at parties who are actually texting from parties, we will not be reading any of those variants, and that's just not going to happen. There's,
at least you can do favorites, and you can do hotkeys and things like that, so you don't have to see some.
See some 17.
make sure you get. Oh my goodness. Make sure you get your hashtag. That's why save them as a favorite, and then you don't have to worry about that. It's not a big deal.
You know. But anyway, I digress. Get a bunch of people together
quite a bit
with all the drunken parties, and then have them play blindfold racer to see how many of them lean in the opposite direction than they should. That would actually, we'll put some speakers up and then put somebody in the middle instead of headphones. And then that way we can all hear them lean in the wrong direction and avoid the chicken. Love the chicken. It's one of my favorite parts about blindfold games. And what do we think? A nationwide, worldwide, if you will, tournament of the best blindfold racers out there.
It's a cool, as far as I know, it's the first. Now it's the first blindfold games. They say it's the first of its kind for blind gamers. That's I think that's no, because there's been
All in Play did something All like this ages ago.
All in Play did tournaments for poker, and I played in them and lost. And they broadcast them on ACB Radio and other places back in the day. There were top speed competitions back in the day.
Yeah,
but still, there has been a while that I can think of that really has been. You know, obviously,
nobody's really done it with eye devices, so I think that's kind of sort of So that's cool. It's kind of
a beginning of October. We will get a link up to it as soon as we figure out where it is. But there's we'll have a link to it in the show notes.
No, we'll have a link to it in prizes. The show notes over at Blind Bargains. Yeah, isn't that cool?
Prizes
that is blind, really neat.
Blindfold games, credits, and prizes, and things like that. So, and bragging rights.
Yep. So
you win.
There's going to be lots of. I'm sure your social media feed will be cluttered with it. You're going to see it on all the blindness related podcasts. So if you've been avoiding it, build your filters now, because it's going to be everywhere really soon.
Add it to your Dice World really filter and whichever other ones you have. True.
That is so true. But I will be watching with great interest, and I think that's really neat. So and definitely stay actually on the Twitter of Blindfold Games and others to be able to find out more about this and join the tournament. I think that's great.
The amount of games that they have put out over the past year that Marty has put out, I mean, it's pretty amazing. Most developers will have a few games here and there, and he's well over 20, not counting the whole arrangement with RS Games, which has another dozen and a half games pretty much on the iPhone.
If you will learn more about that, we interviewed Marty. We'll put a link in the show notes right next to that as well if you want to go back and hear our previous interview with Blindfold Games and their approach to things. That was way before the RS Games team up, if you will.
Yeah, that just happened a couple months ago. Yeah. Another Access World,
It is time for another Access World. It has been a month and some great new articles over there. Shelley completes her series on video magnification. I did ask her the question if she had purchased any, and she had, of course, cited the lovely economy for why she had not. But if she had purchased anything, she was kind of a big fan of the Humanware low vision products, and especially 5 inches. We talked about that before, so I thought that was kind of neat. We also both talked about some magnifiers from HIMS, but there are some wonderful products that are available. And so if you are in that mode, if you're not already for buying other technology, and knowing that there might be a Surface Book right around the corner and other fun, accessible things still to come from Google in October. So if you got some more money in the couch cushion, reach over and start thinking about a low vision magnifier from one of our friends out there, because those two might end up on sale as we get closer and closer to November. It is so strange at times to see HumanWare or HIMS or Enhanced Vision or Optilec or Freedom do like Black Friday sales on vision magnifiers. That I'm still not used to. Yeah,
and Black Friday means it's only, say, 2,000 versus 2,500, but, you know.
And no shipping, which is...
and free shipping and a free carrying case. That can't get you
if it's a desktop.
Did you see the editor's page title there?
What's up?
Pokemon Go. What is this true statement, though? Elevating the conversation around accessible gaming. That's in the new Access world. And two things that really poke out at me that I want to look at: a Fire TV review from Bill Holton with Voice View, and a one of those things we've been kind of been wondering about a little bit and not really sure where it's gone: the current state of ChromeVox Next, which is kind of the rewrite of the screen reader for the Chromebooks.
That's Aaron roughly Priest talked about that around I.O. Nimer had sent something in. So, yeah, that's kind of interesting. I agree with people that we should have the access to games, but I'm not sure that I want something that is as mobility challenging as Pokemon Go, which is already hurting sighted people for us to be a part of in the ER. I'm not looking to join my fellow sighted individuals who walked off.
I'm kind of glad I don't have access to it. I would waste away too much time. Now, Christopher Toth has put out an alpha of this cloud OCR app plugin for NVDA. And Liam's had some really good luck with that, to using that to do some game screens. Figure out achievements and other things. So apparently the cloud OCR in that is way better than some of the others, such as Tesseract and some of the others that have been out there. So
Liam actually pegged it. I think he found out how many API calls you could make in a certain amount of time, because I think he already like floored
500
it
a day. But you can get the pro account. So that's a lot, man. He went over a 500 limit in a day. That's a lot of images. You really gotta work to hit 500. That's one of those limits I would look at and be like, I'm never going to hit 500. I'll be just fine. So
NVDA has a neat thing out now for Microsoft Word.
Yes. We know NVDA has been working a little bit on tutorials, and this is the latest. They had a general one earlier, and now there's a tutorial available in all sorts of electronic book formats that you could load on your Victor Stream 4.7 or your Blaze or whatever else you have, or your computer, reading about NVDA and how you might use it with Microsoft Word. So obviously that's one of the big things that you might want to do with a screen reader, is knowing how to take charge of your word processor. And for under $30, you can have a tutorial. I haven't looked at this one yet, but definitely going to try to take a look at this, because it could be a very good reference or tutorial to point people at, for the ones that say, I've never used NVDA and I don't know where I would start. Well, now you have two different things from NVAccess. And by the way, they're doing a branding survey. A branding survey, I guess, to
koozies. Kinda, I want koozies.
Well, no, I think it's not which gimmick giveaways. It's not for giveaways. Merch. It's partly merch. Should we still call it NVDA and NVAccess, or what do you think of when you think of NVDA? You know, kind of to help them with a mission statement, a vision statement, things like that.
There are sighted individuals who would get that confused with NVIDIA. Right. So, and that can actually show up a lot of times.
If you search on Google and don't have personalized search on, that will often come up. We think you meant NVIDIA. Yeah. Here's some video cards.
Exactly. That's what you meant. It's a long name, and NVAccess kind of sort of works a little better. And certainly that's a website that's easier to kind of.
I alluded to that in my filling out of the survey that, you know, I think I would change one or the other. Mm-hmm. Maybe NVDA is already pretty popular as a name, and maybe you keep that. Or you're right, maybe you call it NVAccess. That's perhaps a little better, but then maybe change the foundation name to something else. I don't know.
Each release to a name of a guide dog.
name him after a blindness.
Labrador, Labradoodle, NVDA.
Either way. Retriever.
There was a school who actually named their dogs after television characters. So I met Phoebe and Ross and Monica. And then I met another group of guide dogs, and one was Jerry, Cosmo, and Elaine, which I thought was really kind of funny. So Yeah, nice. There's a little that bit fits, of humor there. I think
74 is kind of the show about nothing. So the Seinfeld reference.
The truth. Well, you know, you could watch those on a talking Samsung television. Buddy Brannon went out and found one of those elusive Samsung 32s.
They've come down in price.
And they have. They are on sale. They might still be on sale in your neighborhood. You might have to check your Best Buy. Oh, but they will be on Black Friday
again.
Oh, my goodness, yes, because they usually pair them up with, you know, need a DVD player. Here, take this and get it out of our store. But some people were saying the 5 series also has the talking menus. But if you're curious to hear what those menus sound like for Samsung, Buddy did a Down and Dirty podcast. It's you can at least get an idea of the menu That's structure, good. What the voices sound like.
And it is very similar to the Samsung. There are some elements of Samsung phones. You can tell. This is the way the voices are and the way menus run.
But you wonder if Tizen is in there, if that's a Tizen-based operating system inside the television.
It's a lot of wondering there. And, you know, who knows? It's in the Samsung phones and the watches and other things. But here's what we're going to do. Since we don't have an interview or a fancy product unveiling or anything, we're going to talk a little bit about screen readers in a minute and some other accessibility things that have kind of been, you know, topics we've had sitting around for a little while, but we think are really interesting. We also have a tip. We were talking about last week, just a few days ago, about moving apps
in iOS 10.
And Scott promised a tip. Apps
and folders.
Yep. We came through with his little promise tip. It's here. So way to go. Thank you, Scott, for following through. Incidentally, Scott went to iOS 10 and then downgraded to 9.3.5 because of a really nasty Braille bug. I noticed this. It's pretty much has to do with reading messages, and every line of the message has the name of the sender in the Braille display.
Yikes.
Yeah. So AppleVis always does a really good job of iOS bugs.
They have a nice sort post on all the bugs that are available.
Yep. They've done this for the last four or five years. It's one of the things that I kind of look forward to. So, and that is a big bug for Braille. So he actually downgraded, but in iOS 10, you can move around apps. We'll talk about that a little later.
I changed the home screen. Couldn't take it. That new home opening, press it, then press it again to get in on the home screen. That drove me insane. Oh, geez. That had to go away.
You can change that. So, yeah, we're going to be doing iOS tips probably for a few weeks. So
TVOS, because TVOS did update on the same day as iOS. So I do have that dark screen happening on Apple TV 4th generation. So this is fodder for weeks, possibly months to come, at least until we get more Android stuff in October. Looks like we're going to have maybe at least one Surface Book showing up in late October, and maybe even another Apple event for Macs and iPads, although it could be the fall. It absolutely could be. Like, the day after we finished recording, someone posted a email from Tim Cook saying that they were going to come back to the Mac and show it some love. Which is kind of about right, because there are a bunch of Intel chips that they could upgrade on that. So maybe even a lightning charge port. That would be nice. You could charge your iPhone on your Mac, drain the battery faster for both. All of that and sound off. And, of course, the last word coming up after this little moment from Hims on Blind Bargains Cast 74.
Go make it happen with Go Vision, the new transportable video magnifier from Hims. With GoVision, you get all you'd expect from a transportable read, write, and distance magnifier with optical character recognition, plus the ability to enlarge and customize files, photos, and videos from your cell phone, tablet, or computer. Look at a slideshow of pictures from your vacation right from your thumb drive. Bring the world into focus with GoVision. For more information, call us at 888-520-4467. Visit us on the web at www.hims-inc.com and follow us on social media. Hims, lifestyle innovation.
Welcome back to episode 74 of the Blind Bargains Cast. And a topic that's kind of been sitting around for a little while that's reared its head in a few different places that we're going to talk about for a few minutes. And of course, we want your feedback on as well at feedback@blindbargains.com. The title that Joe put up here is Screen Reader Detection. And it has to do with apps, websites, other things, kind of figuring out which screen reader you are using and then using that information for better or for worse. So why don't we start out here? The story started with a comic book site, a store.
Yeah,
right?
The Comics for the Blind guys who there's an advice article here about finally a comic book store for the blind. But what got it kind of talking around in circles related to this topic is not because those guys are doing a good job. Comics Empower has been around for a while now and have been doing some great work for accessible comic books. And I highly suggest you head on over to that website and check them out to learn more about them. But one of the things that was talked about was that it was only accessible for blind individuals. Like, do you feel comfortable about web pages that could only really be interacted with a screen reader? Say they're invisible text or they're blank graphics, but the graphics have notifications or descriptions on them that only a screen reader would read. And is that reverse inclusion? Or wait, no. Is that exclusionary to sighted individuals? Do we like the shoe being on the other foot? Then that came into something that happened just recently. A good person that I follow along on Twitter, BGFH. BGFH had posted that the only way to bring up Twitter's new night mode, which is just an overglorified inverted colors, but I still like it none the same as you've heard me champion for dark themes all over the web. The only way to get to this feature, even to turn it on, the night mode, is to turn VoiceOver off. So here's the deal. You have to bring up Twitter with VoiceOver off. Then you can turn VoiceOver back on. You get a box that says, hey, you need to close the app and restart it again with VoiceOver on in order for us to have an optimized experience for VoiceOver users. But if I did that, I wouldn't be able to go over to the Me tab. This is in the iOS app. I'll go over to the Me tab, then go over to Settings, and then in Settings will be Night Mode. Now, it won't be there if I close that app, start it up with VoiceOver running, and launch it again. It's going to be gone.
Do we know why they did this?
Do not.
Is there a technical limitation? And they aren't the first. So there are apps out there that will present, say, two different interfaces, right? They will say, oh, well, we see you're running VoiceOver. We're going to use our non-visual interface, and this is how we're going to treat you. And it can be done with TalkBack as well, because an app does have the access in your phone to see, is VoiceOver running? Is TalkBack running? That is a thing that they can get at. And you see some apps that will actually completely tailor their interface, in some in good ways and some perhaps in more nefarious or bad ways. Yeah, I've seen some apps that will say, and actually I've recommended this to some companies as far as some of the consulting that we do, to say, when you first open the app for the first time, hey, we see that you run VoiceOver. This app has been optimized for VoiceOver. Would you like to learn a little bit more about that? And you could say yes or no. But if you'd said no, then it gets out of your way and then just goes on its business. As opposed to an app that perhaps said, hey, we see you're running VoiceOver. We've done this for you. Hope you like it. You know,
it's too clean. And you have no choice. Don't even think about it. You know, this is the only option for you. Kind of like Amazon being able to say, we've optimized the website for visually disabled individuals.
They at least have
don't
a link,
use the
though.
Main website.
Yeah.
Go over here.
Although they at least have a link, so you don't have to click on it. But you're right. That's a link that only shows up for, quote unquote, people who are blind and visually impaired, or really for people who are using a screen reader. Because I've heard and I've talked to some people who use VoiceOver that are not blind. There are certain people that use a smattering of some of the accessibility features, especially the magnification
cognitive,
ones.
Issues, those with low vision like myself, who, and let me state it again, because it's been a while and we haven't had Steve Nutt on the program in a while. I use iOS and Android devices with screen reader only. There is no magnification. Byron is kind of my person I go to for magnification on smaller devices, because I don't see the need for that, because by the time I try to use what limited vision I have, I might as well just let it speak to me. Let it go ahead and read to me, because the voice will be much faster. So from an efficiency standpoint. But that means as a low vision person who does rely on speech, I get the good with the bad in this topic. And so I know what I can't get at. I know specifically what they just did, as in the case of the Twitter situation. So we have a couple of links here in the discussion area over at blindbargains.com in the show notes for episode 74, with various viewpoints on whether screen reader detection is a good idea or a bad idea, and should people give you optimized or possibly hampered / modified experiences in order to provide you a better way for them to give accessibility. And is that a good or a bad idea? So, you know, I'm also conflicted here, because ADA states that a proprietor cannot provide me accommodations unless I identify
exactly where I was
gonna go. That I want. Okay, cool. All right.
Exactly,
without getting Lainey Feingold or our legal correspondent on the program, We'll talk in very broad terms. So if we tend to gloss over something and we get in somebody with a legal definition, we appreciate that.
But you're right. But in a very broad sense. ADA does not force accommodations.
Correct.
Now, there's a couple of things going on here. First of all, some people might say, and I think I'll kind of lean in this boat that says, hey, let me tell you if I'm running a screen reader, if I so choose to, but don't just send that information. Now, a screen reader is one data point on a computer. There are so many things about your computer that a website owner or an app owner, and even more for apps, that they could get at. You know, for instance, I can pull up on our web stats for Blind Bargers. I could pull up, you know, what percentage of users are using IE or Firefox or Chrome, and probably drill that down to the point of what percentage of users, depending on how the web browser identifies itself, I could figure out how, say, the Braille Note Touch or the Blaze, or the Blaze is never web, well, I guess it does still pull down other things, you know, or a Braille Sense or any of those. How does it identify as a web browser and probably discern who's using those devices? I probably do that now. Now, there is a movement in some of the browsers and a feature called Do Not Track that especially deals with ads and things like that. But it blocks a lot of these things, privacy, but it's still going to send your browser characteristics.
Sure.
The one thing about that, though, is you can chill. I can go in and change that, though, too. I certainly can go in and say, yeah, you know what? Tell everybody that I'm
my flag is IE6 right. For some reason.
You can
I
do
use
that.
NoScript, and I also use the privacy badger from EFF on Firefox because for me as a visual user, I want all pop-up or pop-over ads to die. I just do not want to do it. Some of them can take up an entire web page until you click one little hard-to-find X. I'm looking at you, Forbes. So I run all Java turned off and everything. Not because I don't want people to show me ads. I don't have any issues with ads. I have issues with intrusive ads, ads that are going to grab my focus, ads that are going to put something between me and the text. Yep. That is a bit of a problem. So I turn all that off. Yep. So there are ways of dealing with that as well. But I'm with you. The idea of what does someone do with that information, or could someone do something malicious with that information? Remember years ago, there was somebody kind of sort of looking for Jaws and went after Jaws for a while because you could detect it some weird way. I forget how. But there have been weird ways for people to detect these things. And if they know that, let's say, a screen reader buffer can be tricked, maybe could they do something malicious in that direction? I'm not saying that's happening. And
not
saying
everything is malicious. I mean, to take the Amazon example, for instance, that's not – they're not even detecting a screen reader. I haven't delved into their code, but – what I believe they're doing in a lot of sites is they are doing invisible text. So a screen reader will see it, and then they can put in a link that says, here's our instructions for screen reader users, and nobody else sees it. So they aren't even detecting, if that's what they're doing, they aren't even detecting that a screen reader is running. But someone could just as easily detect that and say, all right, we're going to just send you to this website. It makes a lot more sense, I think, just to let you...
Sure.
Identify this yourself. Now, but then again,
Text, I don't have an issue with, right? Helper invisible text that would help somebody, or you use a dot of information that a screen reader would read, like almost a QR code, and give you, you know, instructions on how to navigate the website. It's not intrusive to the sighted individual. It's not breaking the experience for myself. So therefore, that's kind of helpful to give you an entire alternate site.
Without asking.
You know, if you're a screen reader, that seems a little crazy. And how can I absolutely be sure, unless I run a search on both, that I'm getting the same information, same reviews, same pricing, what have you? It's like a Braille menu. Would you like a Braille menu? Great. It was printed 5 years ago. Oh, no, that's not on the menu anymore. So I don't
that
want a
is
situation
longer a dollar.
Like that.
It's actually 10.
Yeah, it's exactly. Going up quick. Sorry about that. So I don't necessarily want the situation of an older Braille menu. I want to know that I'm having the same experience that other people are having. Is it laziness on the part of the coder? Is it laziness on the part of the person who's contracting or possibly hiring the coder to say, I can't do it accessibly, so here's my optimized way of doing it? Or is it a situation where they feel that for the best possible experience for you, we served it up this way? I didn't ask you to do that. Well, yeah, but I detected that. But is that an invasion of privacy? some people would say yes. There are some blind individuals out there who would feel very strongly about you knowing that they're visually impaired before they ever show up. It's the same debate also we have in Uber and Lyft. You know, should a driver already have a preconceived conception?
Right. And again, perhaps an option is a thing. And to be fair, as far as the voiceover thing, they don't know that you're blind. They know that you're using voiceover, mm-hmm. and or they could check for that. Now, someone to take this a bit more nefarious, somebody could, especially if you had a large app, create a pretty good statistical model or, you know, kind of some stats to go after of, all right, 6.4% of our users in the US are using voiceover. 3% of those are also using magnification. You know, and then let's combine that with other things that we've already have on you, such as your gender or your email, or, you know, you can pretty mm-hmm. take this pretty far. And that's, and there's the potential for, you could almost see. And
big data and all its loveliness.
Lots of big data. So, I love data. I'm a huge, as a business owner, I love data. So I see these potentials. Obviously, we're not going to do this on the Blind Bargains app. No worries. If we do any sort of surveys, it'll be opt-in. So don't get to think that we're going to do this on our app unless you consent to it. But it's very easy to do something like this. You know, it's one line of code to say, is voiceover running? And then you just kind of cross things over with each other. And then, you know.
It's an interesting time we live in. Certainly, you know, technology can do amazing things. It can also be used to do some things that we never considered before. And, you know, are we comfortable with that? It's the same way that, you know, I asked that question in the previous episode. Were you comfortable with whatever a company dictates is going to be your experience? And since this particular experience has been made better for you, are you comfortable with goodbye headphone check, right? So, I mean, there are some good and there are some bad. That's why we want to hear from you. We're not coming to any conclusions here. We just thought it was really interesting that there was a nexus of ideas that all came together all at once to make a good conversation point and see what you guys think. Is it good? Is it bad? Would you be detected? Would you be in for that? You know, some people have even said a national disabilities database. That one's crazy. That one, I'm not too sure about.
No.
But, you know, there are a lot of ways that people think that if this was here, then you would have an easier time of it. And some people have said that being disabled is always a daily struggle in having to advocate for oneself. Is this one of those times? We want to hear from you. Feedback at blindbargains.com.
We've got a lot more coming up, including this really juicy and wonderful tip from Scott on iOS 10 and the first of a series of iOS 10 tips. Yes, iOS 10 is out, in case you've been living under a rock, and it's already on at least 15% of iPhones as of today, which will be even higher by the time this show gets out. And of course, you can get lots of iOS on our last show, as you mentioned earlier. But we have that coming up, as well as Sound Off and last word about school. Hey, school's back in session. Eh? So we have a little bit of that all coming up on episode 74.
What's up, everybody? It's Scott Davert back with this promised tip from last week's program on how to move apps around your home screen with iOS 10. Of course, I'm running iOS 10 here. I have it on an iPhone 6S, and I am, of course, on my home screen. So I'm just going to show you by example how this moving process worked. By the way, there's something fairly similar in watchOS 3. So if you want to move your apps around your Apple Watch, if you have one of those, you can also do that with a similar method by flicking up and down after you choose an app to determine where to move it. It's not quite as complicated as this because you don't have folders on the watch. But anyway, so if you've run iOS 10 before, you'll know that every time you hit an app, VoiceOver will tell you actions available. You should probably say action because other than launching the app, arranging it is the only other option. But be that as it may, I want to move the app TCL Alarm, which, by the way, is also an accessory that AT Guy sells if you're interested in that sort of thing. Basically, it's an iOS device-specific thing that allows you to set an alarm, and you put this thing under your pillow, and it will vibrate to wake you up. Before I had an Apple Watch, which, of course, is way more expensive, the TCL Alarm is $40, that is exactly what I used to use to wake up. So, anyway, enough of that. Let's get into the actual demonstration. I am going to find TCL Alarm on my home screen. I think I'm on page 3 or something. But anyway, I'm going to find it now.
TCL Alarm.
There it is.
Actions available.
There's the action available thing. You can either flick up or down. Doesn't matter in this case.
Arrange apps.
Double tap.
Arranging apps.
And now you have to do that again.
Activate default move TCL alarm.
To move TCL alarm.
Choose a destination for TCL alarm.
Now that you have done this, you can navigate around wherever you want to go. I want to put this on the previous page.
Page 2 of 8 messages is editing.
There's messages. But I want to put it next to messages. Let's say I want to put it between messages and...
Weather folder is editing. 8 apps, 78 new items.
The weather options folder. Available. So what I can do is now flick down or up.
Cancel move of TCL alarm.
I'm flicking up. You can cancel the move, of course.
Add TCL alarm to weather folder.
You can add it to the folder.
Place TCL alarm before weather folder.
So that would put it right where we want it, between messages and the weather folder, or...
Place TCL alarm after weather folder.
We could put it there. And of course...
Activate default.
You can still activate if you want to delete this folder, but I'm going to go ahead...
Cancel move of TCL... Add TCL alarm to... Place TCL alarm before weather folder.
And double tap this.
TCL alarm is editing.
There it is. Now if I flick to the left...
Messages is editing.
There's the upper left corner icon. Now if I flick 2 times to the right.
TCL weather folder is editing. 8 apps, 78 new items.
There you go.
Actions available.
And that is how you move apps around the home screen with iOS 10. For Blind Bargains and the Blind Bargains cast, I'm Scott Davert. Thanks for listening.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
Emails, 3 emails. We actually have a lot of feedback from all of you. So we have some to go for the next couple of episodes. We're actually having to get back to some things that have come in even during the break. We're still getting back to some of you guys. So if you do send us an email and we don't reply right away, it's not that we don't love you, because we definitely enjoy all your comments and all your feedback. We're just sort of getting back into the swing of things, of getting things on a regular basis here on the old BBQ. So you will see it here in the sound off section, or we'll reply back to you personally. So just hang in there. We will get to everything in due time. Janet Brown, though, jumped the queue because, well, Janet has sent in emails before, but this one specifically got to the comment that I, well, not surreptitiously, I knew what I was doing, that I had made about a gilded cage, and she said that she enjoys her view from the cage. Jay, what do you think about her email here that you can find over at blindbargains.com, episode 74?
I'm trying to follow. So she's really just talking about the virtues of Braille and all that. Nothing. trying to decide on the updates next year. It's her goal is to do everything on her iOS device, and you know, she has an older slow Windows 10 device. That is a funny line to me, considering Windows 10 just came out last year. And you know, a lot of things, we're getting to that tipping point, right, where a lot more things are happening on the phone, and Braille is certainly one of the big enablers of that. If you are a Braille user on the computer, being a Braille user on the phone is huge. I'm still about 75% computer. I bring my laptop everywhere, even when I travel for a day or an overnight. And I know I'm actually in a bit of the minority of that now, with a lot of people doing more stuff on their phones and things. But I just have enough specialized apps that I still need the computer. But things are, you know, you have TeamTalk on the iPhone now and on Android, which, you know, that was one of those things that, oh, you had to have the computer for that. And you have more audio editing things coming to phones now. And you have, Voice Dream Writer, which lets you write in the Markdown format, which we use on our website. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are now on the phones that even a year ago weren't there.
I've had 2 conversations with 2 national influencers about content consumption versus creation, and that we're getting really good at the content consumption part. We got lots of ways to consume content, but creation is still a bit of an issue. How do you create your content? How do you post? How do you maneuver? How do you learn the ins and outs of being able to write and the like? And that you really without, let's take the Bluetooth keyboard or whatever you want out of the way. Just an iPhone or an iPad by itself, that's not the greatest creator device out there, even though Apple will tell you 6,000 ways differently in marketing, and Microsoft will too with the Surface, that, you know, you can do all this stuff. Yeah, it's still much faster for some of us to use keyboards. I browse all the time on my iPad, but you'll see me tweet from both the iPad as well as the computer, probably more from the computer if I want to be specific about what I want to talk about, because I tend to write more from my brain on a computer than I do in an iOS app.
And it's a CPU different power, way right?
of dictation of or what have you. Exactly.
You know, so really, I mean, I won't mind when the iPhone, Android, or if it happens to be a Windows phone, because, you know, we'll see what happens in a couple of years.
Yeah, it's looking like that's going to happen. Goodbye, Lumia.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I won't mind if with using phone plus Bluetooth keyboard as opposed to carrying around a laptop. I'll be fine with that because there'll be a foldable one or there'll be something, or you just bring the full-size one. I'm fine with that. It's not even the touchscreen that holds me back the most. It is the power, the processing power. You know, my computer, I'm easily have one hotkey access to email, web, Team Talk, Twitter, you know, a whole bunch of different things. We're on the phone where you generally have to go in and open an app and close it. Now that some of that's changing, you can
I don't have to think about updating the app, and I don't have to think about updating, you know, and alt-tabbing, and some of that stuff is really simple and easy. Well, but again, it does depend where you grow up with. I mean,
some of that's changing, you know, Android 7 with the switch screen is certainly perhaps a big thing that could
Yes, I would agree. Rebecca Skipper wrote in, and she sends in some great materials. She also tweets at us over at Blind Bargains, at Blind Bargains on Twitter. And she had an opinion about the negative Kindle review that had been going around recently. Somebody had posted a kind of not-so-pleasant conversation about the Kindle and the Kindle accessibility.
I'm glad I'm not as Twitter-connected as some people are. I have no idea what this is referring to.
Yeah, no, I know which one she's talking about, and it was not a very pleasant nor positive viewpoint to kind of sort of say, good on you, you know, Amazon, but, you know, you could do better, but it wasn't said in a very positive way. In fact, it was very negative and scathing. And she talks about the power of how some of those negative reviews can sort of get in the way of people adopting a new device, or maybe even affect those who are in the know of being able to move forward on more accessibility. Yep. So she comes at us with this email and the idea that we should be commending, but also helping provide, you know, constructive feedback, something we've said in Androiddom for a long time. And she talks about even Brailleback here in her email. I would agree.
There's a lot of ways to approach it too. There's a lot of ways to approach it too, but I think we've had the opposite problem a lot of times in this community as well, especially before sites like ours came on and some of the podcasts and things like that. But before, you know, there was too many reviews that were all positive. Some of the early years of Access World, especially, they pretty much had a positive review of everything that ended up. You need a balanced review. And sometimes you do need to call out people. Well, I did the review of the Panasonic talking TV 3 or 4 years ago, and it was pretty bad. And they sent us over a demo model, didn't keep it, but obviously they did send over a free TV to play with. So yes, you need to be constructive. If you're going to say why something is bad, you also should explain what you think could be done to improve it. But you're right. With Android especially, I've seen examples. You know, Marco's 30 Days of Android was a good example, I think, on how to approach it. And he did have some things and ultimately gave up his experiment. But he, I felt, was pretty balanced with explaining things and acknowledging when things were different or better. And, you know, some of the more recent reviews on Android have been that way. So it's possible to be balanced, but I don't think you want to just hide criticism either. So it's tough, but it certainly needs to be done.
You know, I used to be in the government, and I'm familiar with terms like the in-person consultation process. And that is just one of the neat things that Jeffrey Stark sent in about our friends to the north and their moves to having a Canadians with Disabilities Act.
Big.
They're taking public information and they're going around actually in several Canadian cities to meet with people and have those conversations. He sends in a great email here about those resources and about the new prime minister is being an active part of this. So there is a list of cities and also a website in which you can find out about those dates and be a part of the process to be a part of the Canadians with Disabilities Act. And thank you for sending that in, Mr. Stark. That was
and by cities, super cool. This is a long list. It's not just Toronto and Vancouver, Montreal. Yellowknife Northwest Territories, you are set. September 26th, you know, so Whitehorse, Yukon Territory. So, you know, it looks like every territory has at least one and some have more than one. And yes, this is, I mean, you could debate how much the ADA has had an effect, but good or bad, but I do think it has mostly been good and at least raised the awareness of the importance of disability rights and enabled a lot of the things that we have today. Could it be better? Yeah, of course, but it's certainly got a lot of the conversations started. So I do think this is important. And if you're in Canada, do what you can to be involved with this. And we have a link and we'll just put these list of cities, and there's a whole website going on with this. Canada.ca/accessible Canada. Aha. I hope the website's accessible, but but thanks.
That'd be ironic. For,
yeah. I'm pretty sure it is. Otherwise,
what screen reader are you using to read this website? No, wait, that was the discussion topic. No. Sorry. No, I'm glad that was set in and that was really cool. And if you do have something like this or other information in the UK, Australia, wherever you listen to us, send it on along to Blind Bargains, because we'd love to be able to post that as well. Because there's a lot of things out there that we do take for granted at times being a US-based podcast. So it is always good to have people kind of sort of bring us around to know what's going on in their part of the world. Now, that would be the case if you were in high school. That brings us to the last word. We have, he's 14 years old this month, a freshman in high school. And I got to go to a freshman orientation not too long ago. And it was really nice to not be the person who was the freshman going to an orientation for a change. It was nice to be able to go and participate in that from the role of a parent and or guardian. And it was kind of cool. But at the same time, it was also very cringeworthy because there were some people trying to be hip with the kids on the Snapchats and the Instagrams, or the Instachats and the Snapgrams, if
Snapchat
you will.
Snapchat has some accessibility problems. Anyway.
Yeah, it's a lot of teachers who are trying to talk to the kids on their level, and they're trying to do some things to connect with them. Some of them are good. Some of them are kind of cringeworthy as, okay, well, Patrick, just roll this clip.
Stop walking around the room.
What she's trying to do is get to them in a language they understand, you know, music and videos and strobe lights and, well, wow, that is just crazy. I had professors and teachers like this when I was younger, and I too have felt the strange discontent of,
you could tell when it's fake too, even back in the day. You could tell when this was fake. You know, the best teachers that I had were the ones that were that would talk. They wouldn't talk down to you. They would just be down to earth. They wouldn't like try to create an artificial barrier. You recognize that they are the teacher and you are the student, but at the same time, you felt like you could talk to them. They didn't have to like speak the current slang just to speak it, you know, or talk to someone in tongues or something. You know, just be accessible and be real. And then I think, oh man.
It feels like it's a Saturday Night Live sketch come to life. It is. And the kid who's recording is trying not to laugh, but you hear that in the clip. You know, it's just really funny.
Now, down in Texas, and this happened a little while ago, but it's school related, so we'll do it here. Did you see the viral note that went around a few weeks back from one second grade teacher in Texas? Don't think this was your school, was it? It was a second grade school.
Probably not. Was it Klein High School?
Elementary in Texas.
Okay.
After much research this summer, I am trying something new. We are doing a no homework policy. We ask that you do things that are important to correlate with student success. Eat dinner as a family. Read together. Play outside. Get your children to bed early. And so the teacher, you know, it's like, look, I'm thinking the homework is just busy work. You should actually do things that are, I don't know, you know, family oriented. And there's a huge correlation between families that eat together and do other things together versus ones that don't. That's a huge thing, you know.
Agreed. I used to sit around my parents. We would watch the news together and eat dinner together. And then they would turn the television off. We discussed the news and what was that about and what's going on. And, you know, it wouldn't be like I would bring bibliography and articles from the Houston Chronicle to the table. But it was, you know, that was the kind of thing that we liked. We liked debate, and I was a communications major anyway. So, I mean, that's halfway to the door for me. But most of the time when we're talking to Kyle and the like, he has the ability to sit down with the internet and pull up anybody else's opinion of something anytime on the internet. I didn't have that. So if you needed to write a paper about something, you have all the time until the next day for school to go on the internet and take someone else's idea and claim it as your own. So I get this. I truly do, because having someone sit in a room and provide a comment or conversation or be coherent, not on this podcast, but to be able to provide an intelligent conversation in one particular moment and pull that out of the air and be in the moment and give that to you is sometimes better than giving them the opportunity to have what is essentially open book homework. I mean, there are math problems you can point your phone at and it'll solve for you and show the work that you can copy onto the paper. Where was this when I was in school?
Oh, man.
Anyway, that's not the point.
We were lucky to have, you know, well, when they let you use your calculator.
Right.
You know, and then even 10, 20 years ago. Oh, yeah.
What size was your talking calculator? Did you have the big, gigantic Scientific American with the big thing on the back?
No, that's a Sharp EL640.
Oh, okay.
You know, the classic. I think I still have it. I think it's still at my parents' house.
Black Sharp one, the one with the big fat keys and the white lettering on that. Oh, man.
See, I had a Scientific calculator on the Braille Speak, and it was actually pretty inaccurate. It was one of the shortcomings of the Braille Speak.
Don't rely on that for tests.
It definitely did a lot of rounding and things. A lot of great things about the Braille Speak. That was not its
not one of them.
But gonna do it. Episode 74. I am headed out of this recording to a thing called Geeks Who Drink. Have you heard of this before? It's over at.
I would never believe. No, I have seen this.
They host it. Well, it's one of the many bar trivia night setups. There's a few different ones. There's team trivia, and there's a
couple other ones. Zachary Levi was a part of it on Sci-Fi Channel or CPS.
I don't know about that. Okay, I'll take your word for it. Over at Alamo Draft House. So we're gonna. Be a geek house. Who drinks and try to answer some trivia. They do have a Name That Tune music round, so that excites me. So
see if they have any leftover Mondo anything there, any of those mugs. I'm down for.
I doubt that's happening.
Even Bridget Jones's baby Mondo mug would be funny. That would be something really. The Alamo Draft House actually has a series of giant beer steins and the like that they will sell for some things like big movies like Star Trek Beyond or what have you. So. If you aren't already going to drafthouse.com to look at some of their merch, you really should if you're a geek or a big geek-like individual who looks for movies and the like, because they do sell some of that stuff out of market.
I wonder if any of our and I'm not going to do this tonight, but I wonder if any of our listeners have seen Don't Breathe.
Yeah, I saw Scott Blanks talking about it on Twitter, and he liked it. I saw a couple of people who have said that it was really interesting to be able to have the bad person be blind in the film. And,
yep, it's a blindness related movie. That's why I brought it up. And it's at your theaters now, many of which have a subscription.
Maybe it'll make people not sit next to you on the bus because they might be afraid that you might.
If you've seen it, feedback at blindbargains.com, let us know what you think.
Best horror films of the year was one of the surprise hits of 2016. If you don't know what we're talking about, Don't Breathe is a movie where the bad guy, the murder slasher killer guy, is blind. So definitely check into that. You can find out about that and more information. In fact, I tweeted about the alternate ending to Don't Breathe over at my Twitter feed, twitter.com/rangerstation, all one word. That's twitter.com/rangerstation. You can find me and all that information there. You can also follow us over at Blind Bargains on Twitter. That's the greatest way to interact with us and find out what's going on that is new when you're not over on the Blind Bargains app or you are not on the Blind Bargains site. Twitter is your friend, twitter.com/BlindBargains.
And of course, you can find the podcast. Do subscribe to us on iTunes as well as other venues such as TuneIn, Stitcher, and many others. Even if you don't necessarily download us through iTunes, if you use another app, hitting the subscribe button just to show that you are following us there does help us out there. So do appreciate
wherever you do that. Under Blaze as well. Hims for your sponsorship.
Hims Lifestyle Innovation. Again, that's HIMS-INC.com. Of course, go over to ATGuys.com to get all your iOS accessories, the batteries and keyboards, the Matthias Bluetooth keyboard, and other things.
For iPhone 7.
That's right. And of course, remember the screen protectors aren't out yet. The speed dots is going to be working on them because they have to refit them and re-engineer them a little bit. But everything else pretty much will already work with iOS 7. If you have questions, you can email support@atguys.com and we will explain to the best of our abilities what we know and try to explain what we don't know.
For Patrick and Scott, who also contributed greatly to this particular episode, we thank you for listening, and we thank them for contributing and for sending all your information over to feedback@blindbargains.com. Hopefully, we will have a more interesting type show with crazier news as we get closer to the Google and possibly Microsoft and possibly Apple-y type things. And then, of course, break out your wallets, kids, because we'll probably have a holiday special of AT Guy stuff to purchase as we get closer to Christmas. Until then, everybody have a fantastic week.
What is the 75th anniversary? Well, you find out next week. See you later. Bye-bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
It's copyright 2016 PM.
Where's the nearest Uber?
Your Uber driver should have arrived 2,436 weeks and 6 days ago.
I might be a little late, I guess.